This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello everyone. This is Hal.
And Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to the program. Sorry about a little technical glitch there coming in, but we are live this week, live from home base here in Eastern North Carolina.
And I tell you what, it is so good to be home, Hal. I just laid down in my bed last night and I wanted to kiss it. It felt so good to be home. We've been on the road for, what, almost 5 weeks, right?
Yeah, pretty much. We had a break of about 36 hours. The way we were, let's see, we left here, I can't remember exactly when we left, but we spoke in Lebanon, Indiana at a church there for one night.
And then Kansas City.
We did a weekend event at a church in Kansas City, actually in Overland Park.
Yeah, we did our boot camp 9 to 12 live there. That's the first time we've done it live, and it was great.
That was fantastic. Great experience. I think the audience enjoyed it, and I think it was a good weekend for all of us. Then we did Teach Them Diligently in Nashville, Tennessee.
And then we did Christian Family Home Educators in Spokane, Washington.
Yeah, we flew all the way. We got home from Nashville, turned around and flew out to Spokane, and then we had a flight delay coming back, got hung up overnight in Denver. So we only had 36 hours to turn around and get ready for Teach Them Diligently in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
And now we're home, and I am glad. I love speaking. I love conferences, but boy, it's good to be home.
Well, I tell you what, we travel. Generally, we travel in the van. Now, we had to make the flight out to Washington State, but generally, we take the van so that we can take as many kids as possible.
Because I don't want to lose our children trying to tell other people how to raise theirs. That'd be foolish.
Of course. But, you know, we put like 30,000 miles of travel on the van last year just for conferences and ministry purposes. And, you know, all of that travel has to be paid for somehow, and it has to be managed. And so last week we were talking about how to travel inexpensively with your family, particularly saving money on lodging.
Well, you know, it's really important for us to be able to travel cheaply because, you know, when conferences bring us in to speak, they don't pay for our children.
No, and we don't expect them to.
Right, and so we need to be able to bring them along as cheaply as possible. This week, let's talk about how to eat on the road cheap with a large family.
That is a good thing, and we have learned some really neat tricks along the way. And, you know, one thing, I guess I kind of got a groundwork laid because my parents took the whole family to Europe. Now, our whole family was only me and my sister, so it was a smaller endeavor than we try to do, but they took our family to Europe one year, and we learned that you just can't afford to eat out every single meal. So what we would do is we would stop at the butcher's, and we'd stop at the grocery store, and we would get cheese and meat and rolls, and we'd make sandwiches out on the road.
And we do that, too. We eat out of the cooler a lot. The trick that I've learned, next, I'm not super fond of sandwiches, and I can get tired of them really easily. And so I've figured out some things that have really helped to make sandwiches more appealing. For one thing, special fillings.
Okay.
You know, because it may cost a little bit more to get an unusual deli meat, to get pastrami instead of ham or something like that, or to get Swiss and provolone and pepper jack instead of American cheese.
Right.
Although sometimes American cheese costs more than the good stuff. That's weird.
Kind of strange, but
yeah. But it costs a little bit more, but it makes everyone more willing to eat it when there's really good stuff and there's some choices.
Yeah. And you know,
you can maintain cheap bologna and American cheese for a day or two. You can't do it for 5 weeks.
No, you can't. And you know, you have to balance it out. You can say, well, what's the absolute cheapest we can keep body and soul glued together? And that, yeah, maybe you can do that for a couple of days, but it pales pretty quickly. And what's the alternative?
Well, the problem is when it pales, what you end up doing is driving through, and that's a lot more expensive.
Yeah, and so So you have to say, okay, maybe I could make a sandwich. Maybe I could make a sandwich for 25 cents at home, and if I buy this expensive stuff, it may cost me 50 or 75 cents to make a sandwich. Well, what's the alternative? Spending $2 or $3 for a sandwich at the drive-thru.
Right.
And, you know, that adds up over the course of several meals.
Well, if you think about a family the size of ours, if everyone's with us, there's 10 of us.
Right.
You know, even if everybody gets a couple $2 or $3 at the dollar menu, we're talking $20, $30.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can buy some pretty good deli meat and cheese for that.
You really can. You really can. And you don't even have to. You can do that even without going to salvage places and the really nifty, quirky little places that that we turn up. And yet, you know, just going to the, you know, your Albertsons or Harris Teeter or whatever grocery store in your area.
Better yet, to go to Aldi's though.
Well, we're big fans of Aldi.
That's a lot cheaper.
And that's if you're in the if you're in the eastern half of the United States. If you've never been to an Aldi, it's spelled A-L-D-I. It's a grocery store chain that started in Germany after the war when there was very little money in the German market. But they said, you know what? The Hausfrau still has to come out and buy groceries and feed the family. Let's get high quality at the lowest possible price, and we'll cut out all the frills.
Yeah.
And they brought that to the United States, and honest to goodness, we're fans.
They really are. And they have fantastic cheeses and stuff.
Oh, yeah. They
do. Another thing is with unusual fillings is, you know, lots of times, especially like right around Easter and around Christmas, you can get hams cheap around Thanksgiving and Christmas. You can get turkeys cheap.
Mm-hmm.
You can cook that baby at home. Make nice slices, stick it in the freezer and bring it on the road. And I tell you what, a turkey sandwich with real turkey and maybe cranberry sauce for the spread,
you
that
know,
is yummy.
I have heard people who said they never did that. Growing up, we always had, after Thanksgiving, with a small family, there's leftovers. With our family, not so much. But after Thanksgiving, we'd make those turkey sandwiches with mayonnaise and turkey and put a slab of cranberry sauce on that thing. Wow, that is great. But, you know, you can do that any time of year.
You really
get
can.
Get that can out of the back of the pantry and break it out.
And you, and a thick slice of ham is a lot more appealing than you know, cold boiled ham from the refrigerated section of the grocery store. Spreads make a difference too. Our guys love to get like pestos and hummus and fancy mustards and flavored mayonnaises. Anything to make it a little bit exciting, a little bit different. Makes the children more willing to eat sandwiches yet another day.
Well, you know, talking about spreads, we have something that folks from outside the country call Carolina caviar.
Oh.
We make a spread here called pimento cheese.
Oh, it's so good.
And you may not, if you've, it's one of those things that is just so much a part of the culture here in the South.
I couldn't believe it.
We get outside of the Southeast and can't believe people don't know what we're talking about. Very briefly.
Well, let me tell them how to make it, okay?
Well, I was about to do that, but you have a cook.
Okay. You want to get some shredded mild cheddar cheese, or like I like to use the pre-shredded three cheese blend, like from Walmart or Sam's or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to add enough. I like, some people use mayonnaise. I like to use the salad dressing version of mayonnaise, like Miracle Whip. I use off-brand.
Hellman's is a popular brand down here, too.
For mayonnaise, yes.
Yeah.
But you put mayonnaise or the salad dressing kind of mayonnaise in until it's like about the consistency of chicken salad.
Yeah.
And then you want to add a whole jar of pimentos.
Like diced pimentos.
Diced pimentos.
Yeah.
Oh, they're so good. And if,
drain
you know,
them first, right?
Yeah. Now, no, don't drain them. Put it in juice and all.
The whole thing, just
juice and
dump
all.
The whole jar in.
Dump the whole jar in.
Yeah.
Now, pimentos are kind of hard to find in the grocery store, depending on where you live. Lots of them are at the very top row in the vegetable section or the very bottom row in the vegetable section. Sometimes they're with pickles and condiments.
Or with olives.
Or with olives. If you can't find them, roasted red pepper strips work too, but they're not as good as pimentos. And then add a teaspoon or so, maybe more if you like the flavor, of pickle juice. I like the juice off of sweet relish, sweet pickle relish.
So a neat thing about pimento cheese is, it's an idea. There's not a wrong way to make it, really.
It's
and
so
you can
good.
Put, I've heard of people put all sorts of variations in there. Put a little bit of ham.
Don't talk to me about variations.
Okay, all right.
Carolina caviar is classic.
Well,
they can figure that stuff out. I want the real stuff. Tell you where it's really good on sandwiches cold.
Mm-hmm.
It's good on sandwiches toasted. It's good on hamburgers instead of American cheese. It's just
good.
It's good on crackers.
It's good on crackers.
On celery, you name it, it's just good.
Well,
it's good on
the refrigerator. You just eat it with a fork, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But chicken salad, too, can be jazzed up by adding like grape halves or craisins, or even a little curry powder is really yummy.
Have you
chicken salad.
If you haven't seen craisins, it's neat. It's cranberries that are dried like raisins. Okay,
yeah.
So they're a little different flavor, but they're the same kind of consistency.
Yeah, raisins, grapes, anything add a little bit of, or, you know, sometimes our guys will add a diced apple to the chicken salad. That's really yum.
Mm-hmm.
Ham salad, different kinds of fillings make it more appealing. You know, using unusual breads helps too. Like sometimes our guys get tortillas, or when we're low-carbing, low-carb tortillas,
yeah.
and make roll-ups. Oh, pepper butter is good in those.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of meat and cheese filling, lettuce, some salad dressing, that's good in it.
Yeah.
Buying rolls instead of sliced bread.
That is neat. And again, just your big grocery stores, the big mega stores that have a bakery there, you can often find rolls of different sorts. What do they call those kind of football-shaped rolls?
I never can remember them.
I don't know. But, you know, that has been an interesting thing because a decent loaf of bread is going to get to cost you close to $2 in a lot of places.
Or more.
You can go to the bakery and get a big, crusty French roll for about the same price.
Yeah.
I mean, a French loaf, you know, and then just cut it.
You know, what's really yum is those French loaves that they put stuff on, like one of them, everything, and they have, it's like an everything bagel that's like 2 feet long.
Yeah.
Or the ones that have Parmesan cheese and garlic, just the different flavors, croissants.
Mm-hmm.
Different flavors, different shapes keep everyone from getting bored and disgusted with sandwiches. In fact, it makes sandwiches exciting. Sometimes even just adding different sides makes a difference.
Okay.
You know, some fruit. Now, you want grapes and apples and things that are a little bit heartier work better than peaches or bananas, because I'll tell you what, it doesn't take but a couple hours in a hot car to turn a banana into a disaster
something,
waiting to happen.
Something bad, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Veggies, peppers,
yep.
and carrots, broccoli. Throw a thing of ranch dressing in the cooler.
Yeah.
And even with chips, buy different varieties than you used to. Our children love it. Like up in the Northeast in Amish country, Ohio, Pennsylvania,
uh-huh.
they have all kinds of different flavors of potato chips.
That was a revelation. We've got friends who married into the Mennonite community, and we travel a good bit in Pennsylvania and Ohio, where there's a lot of Amish Mennonite families. And, you know, those people work. They put in so much physical labor that they aren't hung up about fats and cholesterol and stuff like that. And man, oh man, oh man, do they do wonderful things with chips. They love potato chips of all kinds of flavors.
And again, crazy flavors can bring back some interest. Buying tortilla
mm-hmm.
chips and salt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just anything that to stop it from being boring and make it a little exciting
mm-hmm.
will make people more willing to eat it.
You know, one thing that we found useful, we have a grocery salvage here in our town, and it's not just dented cans and missing labels. There's a lot of good stuff. It just basically was getting dusty on the shelves because it wasn't local taste. Well, periodically, they get in just absolute crates full of snack foods, like the small bags of potato chips and things that might cost you 75 cents to $1.50 in a convenience store. We buy them by the crate load sometimes, only $3 or $4 for, what, 30 or 40 bags of these things.
Yeah, I paid $4 for 100 bags the other day.
Yeah, and we'll just take the whole crate with us, you know. So just be creative.
You know, it helps a lot if you have what you need with you as far as supplies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we take a bin with us that has plastic forks and knives and spoons. And you know what? They're real expensive
mm-hmm.
if you go to the store and you buy a little box of forks, knives, and spoons.
But if you go to a warehouse club like Costco or Sam's Club,
you can get hundreds of them for a few dollars.
Yeah. And you know what? That'll cut down on dishwasher use when you're home, too.
Yeah.
So,
but, you know, get mm-hmm. some plastic forks, knives, and spoons.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also going to need, like, a bigger spoon for mixing things.
Yeah.
And a bowl. Yeah,
and you can get a bowl at the dollar store.
In fact, a
fancy.
Cheap metal one is the best thing because it's easy to clean.
Yeah, something like that.
You know, and a sharp knife. You'll need a sharp knife for cutting up those peppers and things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're going to be cooking, like in a hotel room, we're going to talk about that after the break, or when you're out camping or things like that,
mm-hmm.
detergent, a brush, and a dishpan really help. Because sometimes it's hard to do that. But regardless, you're going to need paper towels, paper plates, some kind of disposable cups or, you know, water bottles, and baby wipes really help clean up little ones.
And all of those things, you're going to look at them and you're saying, I'm spending a lot of money before I even leave the house. But what you're doing is you are cutting the cost once you get on the road. When you recognize that going through the drive-thru at McDonald's or Wendy's or whatever, as much as you like it, you're talking about $20 to $30 to feed your family each meal,
and you can, and that's if you eat on the dollar menu.
That's right.
And you know what? I tell you what else is, you can't eat that stuff more than a few meals before it really pales on you too.
Yeah. Hey, look, I tell you what. It looks like it's about time for a break. Did you have something that you
yeah.
wanted to tell folks about?
Oh, I want to tell them about Boot Camp 9 to 12 because
that's
we
right.
are starting a new class. of Bootcamp 9 to 12, which is really our most popular webinar series. We've had hundreds of people go through that.
Close to 500 families have gone through this since
it
started. And
let me explain to them how it works, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's for parents of boys 9 to 12 years old. And if you want to get them geared up for the teen years, say you've noticed some changes. Sometimes we see emotional ups and downs in that age. And you think, what in the world? I don't know what to do. This is all the stuff we wish we'd known when our oldest hit that age.
Wow, so much so. And you know what? We try to cover everything as succinctly and quickly as possible. But we talk about why is it you see all of these changes that you didn't expect to see before they started getting an occasional chest hair?
Yeah.
You know, what about this, the brain's turned to mush. How are we ever going to get through fifth grade?
Oh, yeah, like you tell them to do five things.
Yeah.
And they go boom, 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 and go do them. And then those hormones hit, no physical changes. They look just the same as ever.
Yeah.
But you say, go get my car keys. And you find them 45 minutes later wandering around the house.
Mm-hmm.
You say, where are my car keys? They go, huh?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's weird.
Right.
But anyway, let me explain how this works.
Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we meet once a week online live. And you'll see our video and slides, and there'll be chat. And you can chat with us the whole time we're talking, chat with other attendees. It's really a blast. Sometimes we answer you during the presentation. After the presentation, we'll take questions as long as people want to hang around.
Sure.
It's a lot of fun. Meets 5 weeks in a row. If you can't make it live, it's all recorded. Even the video and chat and everything is recorded. So you can watch it whenever you want to. It's really, I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do.
If you want to read more about it, or better yet, if you want to go ahead and reserve your place, go to our website, raisingrealmen.com/bootcamp, BOOTCAMP, and that'll give you the whole. And you know what? We have other webinars, too, besides that. You'll find those all on our website, RaisingRealMen.com.
Yes, and we'd love to see you in boot camp. It's Thursday night this week.
Starting April the 10th,
yes.
Thursday night, yes. Okay, well, so if you were just tuning in, I'm Hal Young.
And I'm Melanie.
And this is Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And we are doing a two-part series talking about traveling with your family cheap and how you can take that those savings in travel cost and use them for ministry, use them for family adventures, educational purposes. There's all kinds of doors that are opened up if you can get the cost down. We talked last week about the cost of lodging. This week, we're talking about how to get your food costs manageable while you're out on the road. Now, there are opportunities to cook on the road, and it doesn't involve wrapping a fish in aluminum foil and sticking it on a manifold, does it?
I've never been able to do that.
You've never done that.
Okay. You know, our fellow speakers challenged me to take a crock pot with us when we stay in hotels.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I felt a little awkward at first, but, you know, I've never had anybody complain about it.
No.
And if you're worried about people coming in, just stick the Do Not Disturb sign on your door.
Right.
But, you know, one of the things that's really easy and really yummy in the crock pot is crock pot lasagna.
Oh, now how do you do that?
Okay. You make spaghetti sauce with meat ahead of time.
Okay.
Put it in a Ziploc bag, okay?
Right.
Then.
And maybe freeze it solid if you're going to eat it a couple days later.
Right.
And keep it in the cooler. But.
But bring it with you, okay? Mm-hmm. Or just put it in the bottom of the cooler. Okay. Bring it with you and then get dry lasagna noodles.
Don't pre-cook them?
Don't pre-cook them.
Okay.
Okay, get dry lasagna noodles, some grated mozzarella cheese or Italian cheeses. If you like ricotta cheese, then bring ricotta cheese.
You can substitute cottage cheese. I've seen people do.
Yes, and I'll tell you what, put a little sauce in the bottom, then layer those dry noodles in there.
Uh-huh.
And if you're going to use ricotta cheese, it's a whole lot messier. Take that dry noodle and spread the ricotta on it and then put it in there like that.
Okay.
Okay.
It is
then,
messier.
No, it's neater.
Neater, okay,
sorry. If you put that ricotta cheese straight on the noodle instead of trying to add the sauce and then add the ricotta on top of the sauce.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay. Put the ricotta cheese in, put some sauce, put the mozzarella, and keep layering till you get to the top. Put cheese on the top.
Mm-hmm.
Put the lid on it. Cook it on high a few hours. Oh, it smells so good when you come back to the room. Oh, my word.
You could probably put it on low and keep
it on low
for the whole day.
Oh, yeah. If you were going to be gone the whole day, you could just put it on low.
Sure.
But often we have somebody do it for us, one of the older kids during lunch. But
we're talking a crock pot. I mean, that is a real cleanup problem.
Well, you know, I discovered these crock pot liner things. I wouldn't normally want to cook in plastic like that, but hey, on the road, you know, doing it once in a while is not going to kill us.
Mm-hmm.
You can get these crock pot liners. They're kind of expensive, but man, are they cool for cleaning up. You just gather them up, tie a knot in the top, and put it in the garbage.
And, you know, again, if you have your trusty little bottle of dishwashing liquid and maybe one of plastic, one of little plastic scrubby things or
a brush
or something, then anything around the edges you can get it that way.
Yeah, and, you know, it really helps to take big garbage bags with you if you're going to cook in the hotel room so you can throw away the stuff more easily because they put those little pint-sized trash cans in there.
Well, they figure you're just taking the wrapper off the styrofoam cup at the coffee pot.
Yeah, you know, breakfast casseroles are good. We had a good breakfast casserole the other day like this that we cooked with hash browns and cheese and stuff, and it was really delicious. The thing is, if you can eat one hot meal a day when you're traveling, usually you're pretty satisfied to eat cold stuff or easy stuff the rest of the time.
And a lot of the places you stay, you know, a lot of the motels and a lot of the hospitality networks will include some sort of breakfast with the room.
Right.
And so you're really on your own for two meals rather than one.
Yeah, now if they don't, you know, bagels and cream cheese can be eaten cold.
True.
Or rolls and cream cheese.
Or sliced cheese rolls.
People will eat rolls and sliced cheese and ham in Europe all the time for breakfast.
You know, I have even seen hard-boiled eggs for sale in grocery stores.
Yeah, or you can just hard-boil eggs in advance. They last a long time in your cooler.
True.
And bring hard-boiled eggs with you. So the only thing is make sure that you have whoever's peeling them, inside like a gallon Ziploc bag so the little shells don't get everywhere.
Now, let me tell you something. We've done a lot of camping. And a lot of times people come at camping and say, we're going to do the big wilderness adventure. But if you're just doing camping as a convenience, as a place to stop for the night, you learn to streamline everything, and it becomes very straightforward. You know what? That Coleman stove can be a real lifesaver, even if you're staying in motels. I remember we took a trip. We actually went camping, and something happened. But we ended up at a motel, but you know what? We had all of our food and our Coleman stove. We just went to a city park, put the stove out on the concrete picnic bench, and we cooked whatever we wanted to.
Breakfast is so good outside.
Yeah.
That just tastes wonderful. Mm-hmm. So what can you cook on a Coleman stove? You can really cook almost anything. In fact, we have made homemade buttermilk pancakes and omelets in the high desert on our Coleman stove.
It's
harder to control the temperature, but being outside makes up for it.
And maybe you just remember your Boy Scout or Girl Scout days and the old green Coleman stove that you filled up with fuel and pumped up for pressure. Have you ever looked at the propane ones? They're cheap, and they fold up very small.
$20,
and they fold up very small. They're very efficient. They actually work quite well.
Yeah, and they're fast, too. They're not as hard to start as an old-fashioned. We've got one of each. You know, if you don't want to try the Coleman stove, you can grill. We had a few days just recently. We stayed in somebody's lake house, and we just grilled every night. You can grill bratwurst, you can grill smoked sausages, you can grill hamburgers, hot dogs, all kinds of stuff.
Well, and a lot of parks and even some rest areas will have grills in the picnic area.
Yeah.
And so if you just take a small bag of charcoal along with you, you can flop that out there. If you got a few, you know, a little bit extra time to get the grill going, you know, that's an option. And
you can grill vegetables, too. You can grill, like, onions and squash and zucchini and peppers and things. Just stick them on. You can get those skewers at any grocery store and stick them on the skewer and grill those too.
Really? Well, now, you know, a lot of the hotels have microwaves, and you can get a remarkable amount of stuff done in a microwave. In fact, I'll tell you what we did one trip recently. We did not have a microwave in the room, but we had a coffee pot. And we had brought.
We were desperate because we'd forgotten the crock pot.
Yeah, that was a misfire. We had the stovetop stuffing kind of mix, you know, that you basically just add hot water and margarine to it. And we got a big mixing bowl from our camping gear, brought that in, heated up the hot water in the coffee pot, threw in a few spoonfuls of the margarine and stirred it up in the pot. And see, we also stopped at a grocery store and bought a couple of rotisserie chickens
section. So we just tore the chicken off and mixed it up in the hot stuffing, which warmed it up, and really it was delicious. I thought it was really good.
And again, that's going to be cheaper than driving through and buying, you know, a happy meal for everybody.
And the other night, we took a couple of rotisserie chickens, stripped all the chicken off, and we bought bags of salad and salad dressing, and laid out those paper plates, made salads, put that chicken on top of it, and cheese, and that was delicious too.
Now here's another hint. You know, a lot of these things are trying to streamline the process as much as possible. Some days you might want to try this at home.
Yeah.
Be honest.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we've got just a couple minutes. It's raining. You can't stop and cook anything outside, and you're not going to be in a hotel.
Or you just want a treat.
Or you just want a treat.
I'll tell you what. You know what they need to do?
What?
Check out the local dives.
Yes.
Because you know what? If you can spend your dollars eating dollar menu.
Yeah.
But you know what? Usually for a similar amount of money, maybe just a little bit more, you can eat a very interesting local restaurant, maybe a local hamburger joint, or maybe whatever's famous in that area, and get some really memorable food for not a whole lot more.
You know, one thing we try to ask people when we travel, if you moved out of this area, what's the food you would want first when you came home? And oftentimes they'll say, oh, this something is only available at a certain restaurant or something that's a regional treat. If you don't have any ideas or you meet people who just don't realize that.
Yeah, people who say McDonald's or Pizza Hut.
Oh, yeah, I like this buffet. But you know what? There's a website called roadfood.com.
Yes.
And roadfood is an excellent resource. You can search by area, and it tells you all about it. And it's everything from the sublime to the absolute greasy spoon. And we've always gotten good suggestions.
Now, if Roadfood doesn't have your area, Chowhound will. But be careful. Chowhound also has gourmets and people that want really expensive food, too. So you have to kind of pick and choose. Yeah.
It's a foodie
site. You know, lots of times the local dumps are a place. If you don't have time to find a local dump, then something like Little Caesars, you know, $5 hot pizzas, you can get something really fast and easy for your family that way.
That amazed me.
Add a bag of salad and it's really yum.
Well, we realize that if we do the dollar menu at McDonald's and we tell all the children, okay, you can have $2 worth, you know, we drink water.
But the big kids often need three or they're still hungry.
But you know what? You go through that $5 hot and ready special at Little Caesars, and you can easily feed three people off one of those pizzas.
Yeah,
you can. So then you're spending, what, $1.75 per person, and you're getting hot pizza?
Seriously.
I think that's better than a lukewarm hamburger. Anyway.
Yeah, but we've had so much fun trying out the local places.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think about the Fire Bread House we ate at Phoenix, run by an Indian tribe, and we still talk about it. It was fun. It was exciting. It was a treat.
Or the tenderloin sandwiches we got at Smitty's in Des Moines.
And the
fried tenderloin comes out as big as a dinner plate, and the hamburger bun is just a handle to hold it in.
Oh, yeah. And remember the Blimpy burgers that we ate, like, in Ann Arbor, Michigan?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they had all kinds of cool
Wimpy's
stuff all over.
Yeah.
We have just tried all kinds of fascinating things all over the country. Barbecue. Mm. Oh, well, we had one in Union, South Carolina the other day, Midway Barbecue.
Yes.
Their chicken stew and their hash is something you will never forget. It's so good.
And you won't find it many other places. I don't.
And you won't have any problem with your sinuses afterward either.
Yeah, just excellent stuff. So.
And so try those local places before you drive through because, you know, if you're going to spend the money to eat out, at least do something that's memorable.
Make it part of the adventure.
And don't be put off by appearances.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes the very best places look the worst. Like I think about
the Dreamland Drive-In
in
Alabama. There's two locations now, but the original's in Tuscaloosa.
And you drive up, and it's like an abandoned drive-in theater.
Yeah.
And it's in the old snack bar. And I remember driving and thinking, this place looks scary.
But then you look in the parking lot, and all the cars are Mercedes and Lexus and
BMWs.
Very upscale cars. And you realize, you know, it may be a dive, but people who have the money to do something else are coming, and this is something that's definitely worth looking into. Well, look, we are about out of time. We have been talking about feeding your family inexpensively on the road, or that is, cheap eats while you're traveling. And what have we got coming up? We've got a couple of interesting things that we're lining up for future dates on the program. For example, we're hoping to talk with John Dodd of the Jesse Helms Center and also the Free Enterprise Leadership Conference, which is a week-long event that teaches capitalism and entrepreneurialism with business ethics layered into it.
Yeah.
Really fascinating.
We teach entrepreneurship to your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a lot of interesting things coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just want to invite you to join us right here.
Yep.
Monday nights, 9 p.m. If you can't meet us on Monday night,
mm-hmm.
then you can download it from the site later.
Right.
Just go to howandmelanie.com/radio. It'll take you right to the page.
Right. So we really do appreciate you joining us here, and we look forward to talking with you again sometime real soon.
And join us online at raisingrealmen.com on Facebook at facebook.com/raisingrealmen and facebook.com/AlanMillamy.
All right, great. Thanks for joining us, Al.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.